Well, today we're coming to a conclusion here. This is our last Sunday for our missions month, and we're looking at Samaria today, we're going from Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. And what does that mean? I've entitled the sermon today, Where Does Witnessing End? Because God says in His Word that we will be His witnesses to the uttermost places. Okay, that we know for the last several weeks. We've been dealing with the book of Acts. And today we're going to deal with the book of Acts again, but in a different chapter. So I would encourage you to please take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 13. We're going to begin in the 44th verse, Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. And then we're going to read into chapter 14, and we're going to look at what the Word says here to us and take this Word to heart and then take it out into the world, because I want us to understand where witnessing ends. What is the uttermost? And have we reached it in our lives? Okay? Because God speaks this Word to each and every one of us individually, as well as He spoke it at the beginning of the church, He still speaks it today. So from the Word of God, let us hearken an ear unto the Word, for thus saith the Lord. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the Word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul, and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them, and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of His grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the city of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As we open this word and we begin to see what's happening, we see that Paul and Barnabas are bringing the word to the people there. And as they're bringing this word, folks are accepting it. People are being changed. Now, these are not people who were right there in Jerusalem. They had taken the word out. So they were beginning to go to the uttermost. But what happened there is something that we're going to often find happening in our lives too. There are going to be people who are going to receive the word wherever we are. But there are also going to be people that aren't going to receive the word, and they're going to incite against us. Does that mean we are to stop giving the word? That's where witnessing ends. No. We see here from these first verses, as we look to verses 44 through 48, that the Gentiles rejoiced and began glorifying the Lord, but the Jews became jealous and enraged. And I think it's amazing because I love what it says here. It says, but the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. Now, isn't it amazing? They went where? They went to the powerful people. They went to the people who were in charge. They went to the rulers of the area, and politics began to get into it, didn't it? What happens when the church and politics don't match? The same thing that's happening in our United States today, if you're a Christian. Now, if you're of another faith, there's not so much of a problem. But if you're a Christian, we want you to shut up. We want you to take it back home, stick it in the closet, because you're allowed to have your faith, but don't live it. Don't live it in public. Don't bring it out of the closet. Keep it where it belongs. That's what the government says. That's what the government said here. But the people who believed here in this area where Paul was preaching right now, they still believed and they held on to that faith and they began living that life. We need to live that life here. But we also need to be willing to take it from here and take it out. Because witnessing doesn't stop. Witnessing has to continue on. So what did Paul and Barnabas do? They shook the dust off of their feet in reproach to the way they had been treated, and they left. And they took the word somewhere else. It was received well there at first, until all of a sudden the prominent peoples again, and the Jews and the magistrates and what have you, they got all their panties in a bunch. And yes, I just said that. I was told yesterday that I preach rather well. You talk to common people. Well, I must be uncommon. Because here's the reality, folks. The world has its panties in a bunch. And we need to help them get their head out of the trouble that they're in, to see the light of Christ, to understand that the things that they're going through isn't where they need to stay. This world is walking in sin so much so that we need to witness more and more every day. We need to remember that they're going to come against us. They came against here. But I'm going to tell you right now, this past week truly did show me one reality, because I never thought in my wildest dreams that I, and I'm going to speak this as plain as I can, I, Richie, okay, you all know me as Pastor Rich, but everybody that was there on Friday at my mother's funeral, everybody that was there that knows me as Richie. That everybody was greeting me, oh, Richie, it's so good to see you. I heard Richie so many times I thought I was going to throw up. But that's who they knew me as. But when they heard the word of the gospel, when they heard the truth that Jesus is the life, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the way, several responded. And that's what we need to remember, because it is for those who are elect. Isn't that what we just read? For those who were going to be changed to glory, it says, and for as many as had been appointed to eternal life, they what? They believed. We cannot stop witnessing as Christians. We have got to be willing to stick our neck out. Yes, we may get in trouble. Yes, we may end up in jail. Yes, we may have people calling us names. Yes, 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 to all that negative stuff. But if one person believes, should witnessing end? Never. You continue on. They made it so that they literally kicked them out. Did they stop? No. They went to another area and they began again. And it was successful and they lived happily ever after, right? No. They went on from there to another place because they got kicked out of there. And I think it's amazing because then we understand that they didn't just put down one place that they went to. They went to three, to show us that it had to keep going. When does witnessing end? When we come to ours. When we have no more breath to give, that's when witnessing ends. Not before, and I dare say not after, because when we're in glory, we're going to witness to all the saints together. of God's grace and His mercy. Amen and hallelujah. Because there we'll be in glory. There won't be anybody that'll kick us out there. There won't be anybody who's going to tell us no there. We'll all be of one mind. We'll all be of one unity. And it even tells us that there'll be a day when we'll come back and we'll do it all over again for 1,000 years at the side of Christ. And are we going to succeed then? No, we'll be rejected again. But we need to remember, folks, who's being rejected? Us or Jesus? Jesus. We're not being rejected. They're rejecting Him. We've already been received. We've already been accepted. By whom? Him. Jesus. And we need to continue in Him. Unending in Him. Because when we understand this scripture, when we come to the place of understanding that the uttermost is wherever you are looking towards the future, okay? You know, we get stuck in this bubble thing that says, well, the uttermost means I got to go to Nicaragua. For some people, it does mean that, doesn't it? For Brother Tom and for Brother Chuck and for Brother Wayne, they're going to be going to Nicaragua. So that's part of their uttermost, isn't it? But where's your uttermost? How far are you going to go? To the end of your days. That's your uttermost. Wherever you find yourself in it, that's your uttermost. And every person that's out there needs to be able to see who you are and whose you are. We have to give ourselves up to Him. And give Him that hope of glory that only He can handle. I don't know about you, but I can't handle the hope of glory. It's something that resides in me. And He is called what? The Holy Spirit. I can't control Him. I have to yield myself to Him that He can use me to the uttermost. To the uttermost unbelievable person that you would ever think. You know, when you think about that reality, these are the people that you probably say to yourself, I wrote them off a long time ago. They're never going to listen to me. Well, guess what? You just met your uttermost. No, that's just one more step towards your uttermost. And you need to witness to that individual, to that person. You see, I've got to look at this a little bit differently because I've got to get you to see that we all have a Jerusalem, okay? We all have a Samaria, as Brother David just showed us here last week. But we all also have an uttermost. That doesn't mean, you know, I want you to sign up to go to Asia unless God prompts you, amen? But how many of you go to Walmart at least once a month? How many of you go to Giant or Wise Markets or Aldi's, okay? How many of you go out to dinner once a week, once a month, whatever you happen to do, okay? There are all kinds of strangers out there in your life, and they are your uttermost. And we need to be willing and wanting to share the Word of God with them in whatever manner God allows us to share it. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas here, they went to the synagogue. What's the synagogue? It's the Jewish place of worship, isn't it? We can call it the Jewish church. All right? It's a building. They went to the synagogue, and that's where they began to preach. But once they were rejected there, where would they have gone? Now, this is an amazing thing. This is a historical thing. This is something you have to do to study the Word. You need to understand it. If you could not find a synagogue in an area, in any town, because if they didn't have a synagogue, guess where the Jewish people met? Guess where the Jewish people would meet together? On the nearest road that had an intersection with a creek. That is a strange place to meet, isn't it? But please remember, all cities were built around water. All cities were built around rivers and streams because they needed water in them, didn't they? So the Jewish people would meet outside the city at the intersection of the first creek or first river. That's where they would meet. So if they didn't have a synagogue, that's where Paul and them would go. They would go to that place of living water, running water. and they would present the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your roads, every time you have an intersection with another life, you have the opportunity to make the river flow, to make that place a synagogue unto God, a place where God is worshiped, because you are meeting someone in the crossroad of your life, and you are living water. Okay? Do you understand this thing? Please wrap your head around it spiritually, because we are that living water. We are that river of life. For Jesus says that I will well up in you streams of living water. So as you come to those crossroads of strange people, you are in your uttermost. You are to think that. Because if you walk through life and you say, well, somebody else will get that one. How many other people do you think are saying somebody else will get that one? Do you know there are no coincidences in life? Absolutely none. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by God's design. And you and I need to think about that whenever somebody, and I love the word stranger, okay? My sister's boyfriend, as I spoke earlier today, he said to me, and this is going to be on the internet, so Chris, if you're seeing this for the first time, praise Jesus. He said to me, you know, would it be okay if I brought your sister to church? What a question to ask the pastor. Yes, bring her to church. But do you remember the other week when I said we are going to have these strange people coming in with all kinds of thing, you know, purple hair and all that stuff? I didn't realize I was talking about my sister. Hi, Gina. I love you too. And I really do. Because that's my sister. She has a tongue piercing and she has some others and Chris has the gauges, and my uttermost is in my own family. So's yours. Because right now in Christ Jesus, they're a long way off. But we need to bring them near. We need to get to that intersection with them and let the river flow. Let the river of life flow out of us into their lives. Make that meeting a synagogue and preach to the Gentiles, because we've been given the word by God. Isn't that what he said? I think I just read that. Let me look at that again. I think I just read that. He says here, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, is that written here for Paul and Barnabas, or is that written here for us? I think God intended it at first for Paul, but then for us to share, to take out into this world and give that hope, to give that glory away. Because how much more will God give us if we give it away? Do you think he'll fill us up again, or will he let that river run dry? Well, you opened up the dam and now the water's all gone, right? No. He will well up in us and he will well up in them. And all of a sudden that which was a stream becomes a creek. And when more begin to come, that creek turns into a river. And before too long, we've got an ocean going. And that's what God wants to see. The sea of life, teeming with life, because his church has understood the word that he gave us. When does witnessing end? When you take your last breath. When God collects you unto himself and says, well done, my good and faithful servant, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's when it ends. And not until. We have a work to do. And God has a work to do in us. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I still have to work on it too. Because there are some times that even pastor finds himself saying, well, I don't really have the time right now. I wonder how it would have worked for us if Jesus would have thought that as they were headed to the cross. Let us remember, God, this is so profound. God made time for us. Please understand those simple words. Because God doesn't exist in time. God's eternal. God made time for us. May we share His word undyingly. For we shall never die. But there's a world out there that may. Let us pray this day. Father God, we thank You for the love and glory that You give to each of Your children. And Lord, we just ask that You would continue to wash over us, to well up in us those streams of living water, that we may go out into this world and understand that, yes, our uttermost is out there. But Lord, it's also right here, wherever we are. And that we need to reach out to those people. Father, hold us in the palm of Your hand. Strengthen us as we've never been strengthened before, that we may bring the Word of God, Your Word, O Lord, into the lives of the lost, that not only they may understand it, but that with them we may grow to understand You even more. For Lord, none of us understands You fully, but we need the fullness of Your people to understand together. May we walk in this truth now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.